Welcome back to Podcast Royal. How are you today, Rachel?
I am good. We have an unexpectedly full slate today. You just never really know what to expect from week to week, and we've got a lot to talk about today.
We definitely do. So let's go ahead and jump in because I have a fun little story to kick off this episode with. And this one goes out to all of my fellow British Bake Off lovers out there, which one day we'll get you in our group, Rachel.
You texted me about someone named Paul Hollywood, and I was like, I don't know who this is, but I guess a lot of people do because he has an OBE now. So anyway.
Oh my goodness, yes. So our Great British Bake Off lovers know Paul Hollywood, but he was at Windsor Castle last week for a really special reason, and that was to receive a royal honor. I'm going to mention I started to report on him going to Windsor Castle and getting this honor, and then somehow this turned into more of like solving a mystery for me in my research. So here's where some of the ingredients in this recipe seemed a little mixed up to me. The royal family social media said that he was made an officer of the Order of the British Empire, which is also known as OBE, and that's the acronym. So Princess Anne was there at Windsor Castle to recognize him with this honor. I put that in our notes originally, but then when I went and saw some of the news stories online, every single story was saying he received an MBE, which stands for Member of the Order of the British Empire. And we've talked about these honors on a previous episode, but quick reminder for our listeners, there's different rankings of, what you can receive. So at the top, you have a dame or a knight, and then you have CBE, which stands for Commander of the British Empire, and then OBE that we just talked about, and MBE that we also just defined. So I guess it kind of comes down to a difference in ranking, in maybe what you do and how you qualify for each one. So initially, obviously, I assumed these media outlets got it wrong because I figured the royal family social media account would have that information correct. But I saw a picture of him holding his medal up on his coat, and I cross-checked that to the medals that correlate to the different titles on the UK government website. And the one that he received clearly matches the MBE. So I think whoever posted to the royal family social media account must have gotten it wrong or made a typo. I
They
would love to
obviously didn't check it through you as they should have, Miss Detective, figuring it out over there. I mean,
Well,
look, people make mistakes, but that wouldn't be that wouldn't be the first time that they've made a mistake on social media this year. So
oh, true,
people make
true.
mistakes, I guess.
Yeah, and I would love to know if any of our listeners, if you saw that or if I'm missing something here, but that's the conclusion I came to. So really glad I could solve that mystery on the podcast for all of us here. So
Love it.
the
Doing the
MBE.
Lord's work over there and doing your detective work.
A hard journalist for sure.
Love
The
it.
MBE is given in recognition of achievement or service, which is outstanding in its field and delivered and sustained real impact. So, Paul Hollywood was, we all know, one of the, and for you, Rachel, he was one of the original hosts of Great
I
British
don't know
Bake
this. I
Off.
what a name though. What a name.
Yeah, one of the original host in 2010. He's still with the show today. And this isn't the only thing that he's done. He's got other shows, and there may be some more out there on Netflix that he's in as well. So very, very well known in the UK. And I'll mention one more thing. So following the ceremony, he said he's always been very fond of Princess Anne. And he mentioned that he met her a few years ago at Buckingham Palace. And he shared some fun facts about her. He said that at the time that he met her, and I'm quoting him here, he said, "I think she's particularly fond of Chelsea buns. I promised her some, so I put myself on the spot there." And then the media asked him about if the royal family watches Great British Bake Off, and he did say that they were fully aware of the
Even I
show.
know that Kate loves Great British Bake Off, and I think Prince Louis's first word was Mary for Mary Bear. Isn't that the same show? Isn't that
Yeah,
the same show, right?
she was one of the original hosts. She's not on the show anymore, but she was, and she was fun to watch.
Yeah, so at least some parts of the British family or British royal family love Great British Bake Off. I'll get into this someday, but I'll get into this when I can watch the show and not want to eat everything that I'm watching being made. That's my caveat.
Well, speaking of eating, let's continue on with another story kind of related to food.
Nice bridge there. That
Hey,
was impressive.
that
That
was
was totally unplanned and very impressive.
totally unplanned. So, as predicted, Prince William returned to work last Thursday. I was really glad to see him out again.
Yeah,
Weren't
it's
you?
nice to see. Oh yeah, it's nice to see him back, especially he was gone for a month basically, so it was really good to see his face again.
Yes, and he was coming back following the end of his children's Easter break from school. He was in Surrey attending an engagement that had him back in the kitchen. And I love these engagements when we get to see the royals in the kitchen. And I don't really know why I enjoy it so much. I'm not sure if it's because I really love to cook, so seeing them do something I enjoy is fun to me. And maybe another facet of this is it feels really relatable, right? They're doing something that's so familiar to all of us that it just is, it's a relatable kind of activity.
Yeah, I like he was like chopping, like he was in the kitchen, like he was deep down in the kitchen.
He was, yeah. So, while it was a lot of fun, it was also a really important engagement that he did because it shined a light on some really impactful work that's being done to combat hunger and food waste. So the organization he was with is called Surplus to Supper, and they actually take leftover food and redistribute it to places like food banks, schools, shelters, religious organizations, and other places in the community that are in need of that extra food. And I saw a fun fact. I think they shared this on their social media, but the organization redistributes 25,000 meals per year
Wow.
throughout their area. He got to help out in the kitchen, like you said. He packed food, he met some volunteers. And then something that I'm sure we all saw this last week was one of the volunteers gave him some get well cards, and one was for the Princess of Wales. I think one might have been for King Charles, but
Yeah.
he told her, well, the volunteer asked him to look after Kate, and he put his hand on her arm and he thanked her. So it's really sweet.
So sweet. And that story definitely made the rounds. I know he promised that he would look after Kate. And then the next day, one day after Williams returned to work on Thursday, last Friday, he quietly attended a private event, which was the memorial service for Major Mike Sadler at Hereford Cathedral, which was honoring the World War II veteran. And Mike Sadler was the last original member of the Elite Special Air Service, or SAS. And Sadler died in January at 103 years old. So what a life lived. So it is great to see William back. More to come, but it's just good to see him again.
That's incredible. 103.
What a life. What a life.
Well, let's chat a little bit about Queen Camilla. She actually had an engagement this week, and
I saw that.
it was her first engagement in her role as Colonel in Chief of the British Army Regiment. So she visited Royal Lancers at Catterick Garrison. And while she was there on base, she actually gave a speech to the soldiers where she shared a quote from the memoir that was written by her father. And he actually joined the regiment in 1937. He served during World War II. So this was a really special occasion for her to go
Yeah,
there.
wow, that's pretty powerful.
She had a very military-inspired outfit on. It was a navy dress by Fiona Clare. She had it paired with this red beret that had feathers. And I don't know if you noticed this, Rachel, but her dress even had the chain detail on the shoulders and gold buttons that mimicked the uniform that the soldiers were wearing. And I think we probably all remember she did something similar to this at last year's Trooping the Color when she was also in a military-inspired dress. And that was a nod to the Grenadier Guards, if I remember correctly. So I have to ask you, what do you think about these military-inspired ensembles?
Well, I did not like that Trooping the Color look, if I remember
Really?
it correct. It's the red one, right? Yeah, I know I didn't like that. But I mean, look, I respect the work that the military does, but I just did not prefer that outfit. Now this one, I didn't notice the detailing on the shoulders, but now I am, because you've dropped a picture in here. But I mean, I think she looks great here. I actually kind of love that. that cap she has on. It looks, she looks, I mean, she looks great here, but I was not a fan of the trooping the collar look. But you know, Kate does military and style inspired dress sometimes, you know, and she's done that a few times actually. And sometimes I like it and sometimes I don't. But this time with the Queen, I do like this. What do you think?
Yeah, I was gonna say I love it when the Princess of Wales does it. I think Catherine's are maybe not quite as literal. Some of Camilla's have felt a little bit, and I don't I hate to use the word costumey, but a
That's
little
what we
bit
said last year,
more.
I think, was that it was costumey.
Yeah, it feels more than a nod. And so I don't know. I mean, between this one and the red dress last year, I might actually favor the red dress. I don't
Are
dislike
we
this
talking
one,
about
but
the same look? Hold on. You keep talking and I'm going to look this up because if I don't think that there, I don't, hold on. Let me
I
make
will
sure.
say I haven't looked at that dress from last year in quite a while. So I do really like it when the Princess of Wales does it. And this isn't bad. I just think you have to limit how often you do something like this. Once on rare occasions, I think is okay. I think if it's every time you visit a branch of the military, that can be a bit
Yeah,
much.
I definitely, I'm looking at photos of her from last year and look, I love the military. I support the military. I do not like this look for trooping the collar. It was, as you said, it just feels, now it doesn't even matter. This is from last June, but the June look looks too costumey to me. This one she's wearing today or yesterday, whenever it was, is not. So I like this one, but yeah, the one from, I like the color from last June, but just not the whole ensemble.
Yeah, well,
But
we'll
that's
see what
just
she
me.
does this June.
We shall see, because apparently, as we said on a previous episode, the king will be there in maybe a more limited capacity, but it still sounds like it's going to happen. So that's good.
Yeah, and I have to ask you, Rachel, we're talking about if the king will be there, but do you think Prince Harry would be there?
At trooping the color, I would be
Yeah.
stunned. I would be stunned. I mean, I would love to see it, but he wasn't there last year, so I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know how much we'll see him. I know he recently kind of alluded to having some upcoming travel to the UK, and I know we've talked about some stuff, but we did have a story come out this week that I do want to mention because it was pretty heavily in the news. So, like I said, we've had a lot of chatter, I don't know, the past few years around Prince Harry's citizenship status with the US and the status of his residence in the UK. So last week we learned that he had to actually indicate his place of residence on some documentation for Travelist. And if you're not familiar with Travelist, Rachel, did you know about Travelist?
Yeah, but I haven't thought about Travelist in a long time. He joined up with them years ago. I want to say it was like 3 or 4 years ago, and I haven't really heard about his work with them in a while, but I do remember that
Okay.
from like 2020 or something like that.
Yeah, I was going to say, we haven't heard much about Travelist in a while. It's an organization, and he actually helped start it, and it was in 2019.
Okay,
So
yeah, I knew it was a long time ago.
the update that he had to make on his residence was for some business filings registered with a government agency in the UK that publishes information on privately owned businesses. So he listed his primary place of residence as being the United States, and he dated it as of June 29th, 2023, which, funnily enough, is the date he officially moved out of Frogmore Cottage. So,
Interesting.
yeah, I thought so too. And it sparked a lot of speculation about what this means for the future and if he has other plans regarding his citizenship and where he sees himself in the long term. We probably all remember on Good Morning America not too long ago, he was asked if he would consider becoming a US citizen. And he did admit to thinking about it, but he really didn't allude to any concrete plans to pursue that. Now, if he were to become a US citizen, I actually read an article that said US policy states, and I'm going to quote this here, any applicant who has any titles of heredity or positions of nobility in any foreign state must renounce the title or the position. So he would probably have to make some pretty tough decisions if he decided to go down that path. I know, Rachel, I remember when we talked about his move out of Frogmore on the podcast. podcast, and we kind of asked that question of where would he stay when he was in the UK? And I think we both agreed the royal family has more than enough space across their various residences and palaces. And, you know, Harry and Meghan, you know, they chose not to purchase any property on their own in the UK or build anywhere. And they've got plenty of places to stay when they're over there. But Harry's, you know, his recent update to his residence, to me, it makes sense. I mean, it's no secret he primarily resides in the U.S. in a property he owns with his wife and children. You know, it may indicate that he's detaching a little bit more from the UK. But for now, I think that was just him being practical and stating the obvious on these documents. I don't know if you have thoughts on that or if you think he would ever pursue citizenship in the US.
I think it would take a massive sea change in his life to do that, to pursue US citizenship like that, renouncing his title completely. I mean, I know that you know, they don't use the HRH, but that would mean that he couldn't be prince anymore. Mm-hmm. He couldn't be the Duke of Sussex anymore. I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. And I'm not obviously surprised that he has declared the U.S. as his primary residence. I mean, he's lived here for going on 5 years. Next January will be 5 years, but it's just the date that is interesting, right? Like the June 29th, 2023, that's interesting. And I guess that is the date that, you know, that Frogmore no longer became his primary residence. Although I just am really surprised because they were, you know, at Frogmore so rarely that he used that as his primary residence up until 2023. But I did notice that detail only because it was pointed out to me, but I noticed that and I thought that was interesting. Again, not surprised that he's declaring the U.S. as his residence. That's not news, but the particular date is incredibly interesting and telling. But yeah, I think he's gonna apply for citizenship. I think he would have to give up too much.
I think it makes sense because this, you know, agency is a UK-based agency. So up until now, or, you know, up until June of last year, he did have a primary residence within the UK. And after he moved out, he really no longer did. So, yeah. I mean, I understand. I think it makes sense. And I totally agree with you. I do not expect to see him pursue U.S. citizenship.
I would be shocked. I would be absolutely shocked.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally agree.
Too much to lose.
Well, let's pivot to some birthday talk. So happy birthday to Prince Louis, who turned 6 years old today. Rachel, he's 6. Does that mean he's going to be aging out of this fun little period of all these goofy antics that we get?
He better not. I live for that child. So he better not. Okay. 6 is 1/3 of the way to adulthood. What?
Oh, goodness, Rachel.
When did that happen? When did that stop growing up, kids? But he better not stop these. I hope they only escalate in year 6. I need him in my life. I literally need this child for comic relief.
He brings a lot of smiles to a lot of people. He does. Well, Kensington Palace released a photo of him on social media today, and it has actually been noted that the picture was taken recently by the Princess of Wales, and it is an unedited photo.
And trust me, if it wasn't, we would have heard about it by now. So it has obviously passed muster because everybody in the world is probably overanalyzing that photo today. But I saw the photo and I was glad to see it because we were wondering if it was going to happen, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wonder how many people zoomed in on that.
A lot. A lot, especially in the media.
Well, we talked on the pod about, you know, I think it was a few weeks ago, maybe, about how the Waleses, you know, they've taken photos in the past. And then after the whole photo situation, we were kind of wondering how long would it be before we see another picture release that was taken personally by one of them. And they didn't make us wait very long. So even unedited, I thought this picture looked great. I thought it looked very professional quality. And I personally am really happy that they're continuing to share pictures with confidence. And I also love hearing that Catherine is still enjoying photographing the children. So I think that's all great news.
Yeah, I'm so glad to see a photo. I think we thought for a minute we weren't going to get one because it was released a little bit later than it normally is. And if I'm not mistaken, it was not released through the photo agencies as it has been in the past. It was just released by Kensington Palace. So that's different. There's some definite changes in protocol now and how they're doing business. But all that really matters to me is that we got a new photo of Louis, and he looks adorable. The photo's great, and he's sick. So how much editing does there really need to be, I guess?
Right.
But, I mean, it's not like, he's like me. It's like, please edit out, this gray hair or this wrinkle or whatever. But like, he just looked adorable, and I love to see him. And happy birthday, Louis VI. My gosh, babies don't keep. But it is the season of birthdays and anniversaries and celebrations. I know we've got the Prince and Princess of Wales anniversary coming up on Monday the 29th. We'll talk about that more in our next episode. But we've got, of course, Louis's birthday today. And then Sunday, April 21st, this past Sunday, would have been, of course, Queen Elizabeth's 98th birthday. Sarah Ferguson led the tributes. She wrote on social media, "Thank you for all that you've taught us. Being a steadfast leader and dear friend, you are sorely missed." So there's actually, I think you'll love this news item, Jessica, because it has to do with dogs, or partially with dogs. There was actually a 7-foot statue unveiled this past Sunday, the 21st, depicting a young Elizabeth with a corgi at her feet in Rutland, England's smallest county. I feel like we've talked about this before, like that it was going to be done, but now it's done. So now it's up, it's unveiled. So the Rutland City Council said that this is England's first permanent memorial to Her Late Majesty. And I dropped a picture in here in our Google Doc, Jessica. I feel like you would love this, because look at that. She's got her dogs at her feet. So that's actually really beautiful. And I'm touched by that.
Yeah, I absolutely do love this. I think it is such a special and really sweet way to honor and remember Her Majesty. I actually, something that struck me is it's a pretty picture, but it's actually a very pretty statue. And I generally don't think that many statues are pretty. I think some historical statues are very beautiful. More of the modern day statues that we see a lot of, are they don't really excite me all that much. But this one is very pretty. I love that she's wearing a crown, and she's got like a cape on and a beautiful dress, and her little dogs are down there at her feet. So, it's lovely.
It is lovely. And I think, and I hope that this is the first of many more to come. But I can't believe it's the first, but I guess so. I feel like we've talked about other statues, but maybe we've talked about that they're coming, but not that they're here and unveiled. But once again, this week, we have so much royals around the world content, but closing out the royal rundown this week, late breaking news items. So today, King Charles released some honors appointments, and the Prince and Princess of Wales both got honors, and Queen Camilla did as well. Today actually made some history as far as Kate goes. So in addition to today, April 23rd, being special for the Princess of Wales because it's Louis VI's birthday, King Charles made history and appointed Kate. And the British honor system is very confusing. Like, I wonder if it's confusing to someone who is British, but the chivalry system and all of this stuff, it's a lot. So we're going to try to dial it down as much as we can and not stay here for too long, because there's so many different honors. Like Jessica was talking about OBE, MBE, all of this. That's just but a tip of the iceberg. But the king appointed Kate as the royal companion of the Order of the Companions of Honor. And in doing so, he actually made history. So she is the very first royal to be named to this particular order, which was founded by King George V in 1917 to recognize outstanding achievements in the arts, sciences, medicine, and public service. For example, Sir David Attenborough, Elton John, Anna Wintour, Judi Dench, Maggie Smith, they're all in this order. And now Kate is as well, the very first royal to be so. So she was likely tapped for the, I know, it's actually a really big deal. So she was likely tapped for this because of her love of the arts. You know, we know she loved, for better or worse, we know she loves photography. And she actually has a lot of patronages that support her love of the arts, like the National Portrait Gallery, the V&A Museum, the Royal Photographic Society. So that's huge, first of all. So that's a major honor for her. And then William, for his part, was named by the king to be Great Master of the Most Honorable Order of the Bath, which is a role that the king himself actually held from 1974 to 2022 before he ascended the throne in September of 2022. That order was established by King George I in 1725, but it's actually believed to date back as far as the 8th century. So very prestigious, very old order. And then Queen Camilla also received a new honor today, April 23rd, from her husband.
Okay, Rachel, take a breath.
I know it's so much. I don't even know. Like, I don't even, I just, it's a lot. And this is but one, we're just diving back down.
This is quite the title you're about to say.
Oh my God. I wrote this and I'm like, my God, this is quite a title. Okay. Imagine putting this on a business card, which obviously she won't, but I think queen suffices, but as if she has business cards, but she received a new honor from her husband. Get this. Okay. Here's her title: Grand Master and First or Principal Dame Cross of the Most Excellent Order of the British Empire. How many words is that? That's like easily.
Do you know what that words. Reminds me of?
Grandmaster Flash, because that's what I want to say every time I say Grandmaster.
I was thinking supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
I mean, okay, let's say that again. Grandmaster and First or Principal Dame Cross of the Most Excellent Order of the British Empire. There's somebody out there that knows what all of that means, and that person is not me. But what I do know is that the Order of the British Empire was also established by King George V in 1917. Again, the British chivalry system is royally adjacent, right? But it was established by a lot of this by King George V. It's not, it is royal, but it's not, I don't know. It is, I guess, but it's just kind of over my head. But all of it to say, the big news here for me anyway, my biggest takeaway is that Kate made some history today. And I think that's cool that he is honoring her in that way. And that they, three of, you know, the most senior royals received well-deserved appointments. So I think that shows the unity of those four senior royals. And it's some good news in a season of some kind of tough news. So what do you think?
Yeah, no, I think that's really cool. I loved hearing that about the Princess of Wales. And I will say, as long as that title is for Camilla, it sounds very pretty. It sounds very nice. You mentioned a business card. I was thinking, what if they had a business card where Camilla listed all of her titles?
Oh, my God. It would be never ending.
It would be a business booklet.
I just counted. If my count is right, I just counted very quickly. 17 words. 17 words.
Wow.
I mean, I guess if you say it enough times, you'll remember it. But imagine like trying to practice that title and not getting it wrong. It's just, it's again, it's a little bit above my head, but it's all part of this amazing British honor system. And congratulations to everyone. And those three were not just the only, there were other honors handed out as well. But these are the most relevant to our podcast, and especially to Kate. You know, that's a ray of sunshine today, in addition to being Louis's birthday. So I bet today is a good day for her.
Definitely. Congratulations. And I know you said we were closing out the royal rundown, but I snuck one last thing in here.
Yeah.
Just for fun. So, Rachel, what is your favorite farm animal?
Well, I don't think I've put thought to that. What is my favorite farm animal? I'll go with I don't know. What is your favorite farm animal? I'm trying to
think. It's hard to pick. I've always thought pigs are really cute, but yeah, also cute. little baby lambs are pretty.
Yeah, okay. We're gonna go with the lamb. We're gonna go with the little lamb.
Well, Sophie, the Duchess of Edinburgh, attended a really cool engagement with children last week for the Field to Food Learning Day, and she saw some farm animals. So she participated in this plow to plate educational kind of activity, which plow to plate, it makes me think of farm to table, I guess.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too, concept. Actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so she was in some photographs with the kids there, and we saw her with she was looking at some sheep and some pigs. I saw little baby piglets, and it was really fun to watch. But while she was out on this engagement, she also visited Yarrow Valley. I think I'm saying that correctly. It's Britain's largest organic dairy brand, and she got to learn about the work that they're doing with Langford Estates to support regenerative farming. So she was there as a patron in that capacity. And I just thought that was another, you know, I love talking about anytime we see some farm animals. So I thought that was a fun little event for
I mean,
her.
I've never thought about that question. I don't even, I'll have to think about that because I, the, like the little sheep are super cute, but also like little piglets are cute too. And I don't know. I just, I, chick, chickens are cool. I know that Harry and Meghan have chickens. I don't know. It's one of those things that I've just never put thought to.
Yeah, they're definitely fun to watch and
I love
pet.
animals.
We always just had cows on our farm, which, you know, they're really cool too, but you can't cuddle them like a little baby lamb, so.
No, I don't think so. I don't think that I don't yeah, that I don't think that would go very well. But yeah, I love all animals. All creatures great and small. So love it.
Well, let's go ahead and jump into Royals Around the World because, like you said at the top of the episode, this is really the bulk of our content today, I think.
Yeah, for whatever reason, the last couple of weeks, Royals Around the World have been exploding and there's been a lot of crossover, so
There has, yeah. So I want to finish up talking about the Luxembourg to Belgium state visit. We started that last week, and they had only, I think they were only like a day or so in when we reported up until that state banquet. So, I think we had coming out of that, we had day two of the visit, and Queen Mathilde and Grand Duchess Maria Theresa attended an art exhibition, and it was highlighting the avant-garde movement. So that was kind of fun to see them there in the at the exhibition. I think they were at the museum. And then later they joined their husbands in Ghent, where we saw photos of them greeting members of the public. And I have to mention this, Rachel. I put a picture in here for you. I don't know if this was intentional or if maybe it was very unintentional and they didn't plan their outfits at all. But we had a little bit of a Christmas in April moment, in my opinion.
yes,
So
we did. And how
Mathilde,
tall is Mathilde, by the way? Or how short is Maria Theresa? Like the height difference here is noticeable.
Yeah, I had a comment about that in our notes later on too, but we saw Queen Mathilde in this bright red dress. She had a matching headpiece, and then Maria Theresa was in a green pantsuit, very, very red and green Christmas colors here. So both outfits worn by the Queen and Grand Duchess were by the designer Natan, and this is a Belgian-based brand. And it is a favorite by Queen Mathilde. She wears this label quite frequently. So I do think it was very intentional of the Grand Duchess to select a Belgian designed piece. I think it was very fitting for the state visit, but I don't know if they coordinated those colors or not. I'm not really sure.
By the way, I'm doing some intrepid research on the fly, and Queen Mathilde is 5'9". I have not yet gotten to how tall
Yes.
Maria Theresa is, but she is 5'9" for context.
So later that evening, they attended a concert and reception that was hosted by the Luxembourg Royals in honor of the King and Queen of Belgium. So the concert was performed by the Luxembourg Philharmonic Orchestra. And for this event, we saw Queen Mathilde in this floor-length white dress that looked like it had some kind of sunburst embellishments on it. And Rachel, do you remember last week when we talked about the state banquet? And it seemed to me like the Grand Duchess's dress was really toned down. It was kind of meant to complement the Grand Duke's uniform, right? With that black and pink. Well, they hosted this event. And for this concert and reception, it was really her night to shine. So the Grand Duchess was in a floor-length floral halter gown by Oscar de la Renta. And this dress, I read, goes for a jaw-dropping 19,000, just almost 20,000, just under $20,000.
I mean, it's beautiful, but that is an expensive dress. She looks stunning. It is a gorgeous dress.
Yeah, very, very. I love it with all the flowers around her. The dress is floral.
That's gorgeous, actually.
They've got, yeah, their walkway is kind of lined with flowers, so it made for a really great photo.
Yeah, she look, I mean, I yeah, she looks absolutely beautiful. That I like the halter neck on that. Yeah, she looks stunning.
So for the last day of the visit, the Queen and Grand Duchess had a joint engagement with Child Focus. This is an organization that fights against the disappearance and sexual exploitation of children. And it's a cause that both the Queen and Grand Duchess are really passionate about and have been involved in for years. And at this event, Queen Mathilde was in this monochromatic pink look that included pants and this sort of cape style top. It was really different and cool. She also had a shawl and a belt that matched, and she had it paired with this light pink headband. Again, the pants and top were by that same designer, Natan. And I don't know, Rachel, how you would describe this shade of pink, but the first thing that came to my mind was Pepto-Bismol.
Well, now that you say that, I can't unsee that. So yes, it is very Pepto-Bismol.
And I don't mean that in a negative way. I
Or
actually like that color
bubblegum,
pink.
maybe. We could call it bubblegum pink, something like that. But it is very Pepto-Bismol pink.
What do you think about this look?
I mean, Maria Theresa's look, Oscar de la Renta look, was a tough act to follow. I don't really particularly care for this. I didn't care for her other pantsuit either. It's
Okay.
just it's a lot of pink. I don't really prefer the sleeves or the belt. It's just not really hitting for me. I like the pants,
Okay.
right? Like the pants could work with a different top, I think, but it's just not my favorite.
Well, I don't know if
About
it's just
you?
my fondness of pink, but it's really hard to make me not like a pink outfit. I liked it. I see your point. But I thought it was kind of fun and different. It felt a little playful to me, but in a professional manner.
Sure. Yeah, it's just not my favorite. But you know what? Again, the pants, definitely, I love the cut of the pants. Love that. I just want it with a different top, I think.
Well, the Grand Duchess was in wide leg black pants. She paired that with a white wrap blouse and a white and black floral blazer. And the blazer is actually by Alexander McQueen. So, what do you think about this look?
I don't prefer the blazer so much. I really like everything else though.
Oh, see, I'm so opposite from you today. I was going to say I like the
I
blazer.
like the top underneath the blazer. I wish I could see more of that. I wish I could see like what the cut looks like without the blazer. But yeah, the blazer, see, I'm just, you know, but me, I'm just such a boring solids person. And this has, you know, I don't know if I'd call that a pattern, but it definitely has a design on it. But it's fashion, you know, it's definitely fashion forward. And, you know, I mean, these ladies are turning it out. Like they're really turning out the looks. And so, you know, I mean, they look beautiful. Just 'cause it's not for me doesn't mean any, I mean, who am I, you know, to say, but yeah, I think, I really wish I could see that top underneath the blazer, what the rest of that top looks like.
Yeah. Well, we've reached the point in my note where I had actually made the same comment that you did. I had put down here that something that really struck me from this whole event, the state visit, was the height difference between Queen Mathilde and Maria Theresa. And like you said, Queen Mathilde is 5'9". I actually researched this too, Rachel, and I couldn't
Great
find the
minds
exact
think
height.
alike.
Yeah,
Yeah.
nowhere was the Grand Duchess's height recorded anywhere I saw online, but looking at them side by side, I think she's got to be close to 5 feet, if not shorter.
Yeah, she's tiny.
When you see images of royals online, I think a lot of times the camera angles don't let us see their height in reference to everyone around them, and so occasionally we get these shots, and it's really fun to see. I'm a fellow short girl. I'm, a little over 5 feet, 5'2"-ish maybe. So, I can relate to being the shorter one in the room.
And I'm about 5'6¾". So I'm pretty average, but you know, Matilde is 5'9", which is pretty tall. And I no doubt she has heels on. So, you know, she's probably hovering close to 6 feet tall. And you know, and there is quite a height differentiation, but who cares? You know, it's all good. But the Christmas colors thing, they definitely are pulling, as you said, a Christmas in April situation. Well, speaking of Luxembourg, there's and I don't know if this is a surprise because the Luxembourg royal family tends to voluntarily abdicate. That's something that I learned this week, but we got a couple of surprise announcements from royals around the world this week. So first of all, 3 months after Queen Margrethe of Denmark's surprise abdication in January, it sounds like Grand Duke Henri of Luxembourg, who Jessica's been talking about for the past 2 weeks on this visit, said he intends to abdicate, or in his words, retire at some point. He did not reveal when exactly it might happen specifically, although it sounds like he knows when, he's just not sharing publicly at the moment. Whenever it does happen, the throne will pass to his eldest son. You're going to have to help me with pronunciation on this. Prince Guillaume, did I say that right?
I would probably say Guillaume
Guillaume. Okay. You've said this.
or Guillaume, perhaps. I don't know if you pronounce the E or not.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, that is Will, a translation of the name William.
That's right. We did talk about
We
this on
talked
a
about
previous
that.
episode, and I looked up the pronunciation.
Yes. Well, it's spelled Guillaume. So, however, it's how did you say it? Guillaume?
I'm not sure if I'd have to look it up again if the E is pronounced or not. I would say either Guillaume or Guillaume.
Well, he's not king yet, but he's going to be. So we'll learn is how to pronounce it by the time he takes the
Yeah, I've got to
throne.
practice my French a little more.
Yes. But Henri took the throne in October 2000, which makes me wonder if he's going to try to make it to 25 years, right? And then call it a day. I don't know if that even matters to him. But anyway, his own father, Grand Duke Jean, abdicated when he was 79 after reigning for 35 years. So, as I just said, voluntarily abdicating has become kind of a pattern, as Grand Duke Jean came to the throne when his mother, Grand Duchess Charlotte, abdicated in 1964, and she came to the throne after her older sister, Grand Duchess Marie Adelaide, abdicated in 1919. So as opposed to like the throne of Denmark, right, where I don't think there had been an abdication like 900 years or something like that until Margrethe did it, it seems in Luxembourg like this is kind of common. So it just really does. We talked about abdications earlier this year. It just really depends. So what did you think about that? Because you were just reporting on this family, and then it sounds like he might be nearing the end of his reign.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I like you said, it's not unusual for royals to abdicate in other royal families. Obviously, it would be a surprise, coming from like the British royal family or something. So I'm not super surprised, but I am curious to know, when, how far in the future that might be.
I bet, I mean, I have no idea, but I bet that he tries to make it to a quarter century. Because if you're October 2000, that would be October
Oh,
2025, right?
yeah, I mean, I would even not be surprised if he wants to go at least 30 years. I mean, I really don't expect this to be, I think I would be surprised if it was within a year from now. I think it would probably be longer than that.
Well, he just had a birthday, which you talked about last week, and I think he just turned 69. So, he's still relatively young, and so he's, who knows? But he knows apparently, but we just don't know yet. And so we don't talk about, so the royal family of Greece doesn't exist anymore. It's not an active royal family anymore. But so therefore we don't really talk about them a lot. But we actually just, didn't we just talk about them last week? I feel like we did in some
Oh,
capacity.
slightly in reference to their relation to the British royals.
Right. And of course, King Constantine, we've talked about him quite a bit in his memorial service last February. So we have sadly, a surprise divorce announcement from Prince Nicholas and Princess Tatiana of Greece. So after 13, this was unexpected too. After 13 years of marriage, Prince Nicholas and Princess Tatiana of Greece have announced, I think it was on Friday, that they announced that they plan to divorce. Yeah, Friday, the office of the former royal family of Greece shared this announcement on their website. Prince Nicholas and Princess Tatiana, after 14 years of living together, which I think is interesting because they've been married for 13 years, but it's interesting the way they phrase this. But anyway, after 14 years of living together, have decided to dissolve their marriage. Both expressed the difficulty of this decision, the deep appreciation and respect they have for each other, but also the love with which they have walked all these years. The same values of respect and understanding will form the basis of their relationship in the future, a relationship of deep and sincere friendship. They will continue to live and be active in Greece, the place they both feel at home. Family will always be by their side. Thank you very much for your respect and discretion. So we recently saw the couple, of course, at the Thanksgiving service for King Constantine. That is Nicholas's father, actually. And King Constantine was the last king of Greece who ruled until the monarchy's abolition in June 1973. So the couple were married in August 2010. and guests at the wedding included a laundry list of royals around the world that we talk about all the time, like Crown Princess Victoria and her husband Prince Daniel of Sweden, the future King Philippe and Queen Letizia of Spain. They hadn't taken the throne yet. That happened in 2014. And then the future King Willem Alexander and Queen Maxima of the Netherlands, who hadn't taken the throne yet either. That was in 2013. So, we don't really talk about these royals, but I don't know if you have any thoughts on this. I mean, of course, we always hate to hear about a divorce announcement.
Yeah, like you said, we don't really report on Greece, given that they're not active working royals. But yeah, I mean, it's always sad to see an announcement come out about a divorce. So it's disappointing.
And then I hate to hear this next news item too. So King Harold is permanently reducing his royal duties. Jessica's reported on his health for the past few months. And listeners, you can listen to back episodes. He's been having some health issues the past couple of months. So to call this a complete surprise might be a stretch, but still somewhat unexpected. So following his recent health scares, King Harald of Norway will permanently reduce royal duties going forward. This came out yesterday on Monday the 22nd. So King Harald has made it clear that he in particular has no plans to abdicate. I don't think that's going to happen here. But the Royal House of Norway released a statement on Monday that said the king will make adjustments to his program in the future out of consideration for his age. I believe he's 87 years old. This will entail a permanent reduction in the number and scope of activities in which the king participates. Practical arrangements will also be made in the conduct of his official activity. So no details were given as to what exactly this looks like how many engagements we can expect in a week, in a month, in a year. But it did come out, this announcement came out yesterday, the 22nd, which happened to be the day that his 2 week sick leave ended. So they probably, he's probably, honestly, I mean, he's 87 years old. He's had a pacemaker put in. He's probably not fully ready to come back yet and kind of coming to terms with the fact that while he does not want to abdicate, respect that, he is going to have to take it slower. So you've reported a lot on King Harold. So I'd like to know your thoughts on this.
Yeah, I mean, I think this makes sense. I think we need to remember that monarchs working with the schedule, like someone like the late Queen Elizabeth had until she was 96, is really, I mean, that's challenging. That's a lot, and I think we talked how, about how Queen Margrethe, when she abdicated, it really felt happy and joyful for her to be able to enjoy some of her life in retirement and kind of do what she wishes. And I certainly hope the best for the king's health. But I think it makes sense to scale back his activities. He needs to be able to relax and rest at his age and have a little bit more freedom to, maybe not get up and get dressed and go have a full work schedule every single day. He's got, heirs who will need to prepare to take over at some point in the future. So this could be good training for them and in preparation. So hopefully he is doing well and he's able to scale back a little bit and enjoy some more family time.
Yeah, I just, he just needs to take care of himself, and it sounds like he is not interested in abdication. Again, to each his own. But and who thought we'd be talking about so much about abdication this year? But I just again hope that he takes it easy, and just like I hope King Charles is taking it easy and not working himself into a frenzy. As he health comes first, first and foremost at any age, but especially at 87. So let's do another royal crossover visit, shall we? So Jessica talked about this visit. It also, like the Belgium Luxembourg visit, had just started, so the Spain and Netherlands visit. So we just talked about 5 seconds ago about Spain and the Netherlands. So Jessica teed up the Spain and Netherlands royal crossover 2-day visit in last week's episode. It began on April 17th, and there was a state banquet that evening that I want to talk about and highlight. So the Spanish royals visited the Netherlands for an official visit with the Dutch royal family. At a state banquet honoring King Philippe and Queen Letizia of Spain, King Willem Alexander of the Netherlands shared an adorable story about meeting his wife, Queen Maxima, in Spain, Seville specifically, that melted hearts. And this is from him. "Spain has a special place in our hearts," he said during the banquet at the Royal Palace in Amsterdam. "First of all, because it was in your country that our life together began. We were at the Feria de Abril in Seville 25 years ago. The sparks began to fly. The rest is history." So as he recounted their meeting, This prompted a big smile from Queen Maxima. That's from People magazine. And then at the time when they met, he was not king yet. He was the future king. He was the heir to the throne. And Willem Alexander met Argentinian-born Maxima Zuri Goeta in April 1999, which was a quarter century ago this month. And the first in line to the throne, he introduced himself. I think we've told this story before, but he just introduced himself as Alexander. And Maxima was working in banking in New York City at the time, did not apparently know who he was. And when she did find out that he was the heir to the Dutch throne, she did not believe him, which I think is hilarious. And so they start dating. They get engaged in March 2001. They get married in Amsterdam in February 2002. And then, as we just said, Willem Alexander became king in 2013 after his mother, Queen Beatrix, abdicated the throne. So then William Alexander keeps going in his speech last Wednesday, the 17th, at this diplomatic dinner, that his visits to Spain always felt warm for him and his wife, as well as his eldest daughter, Princess Catherine Amalia, who was also there. So we did say that last week that she was going to be there. She was going to have a tiara moment. She did. She, of course, is the future queen of the Netherlands. She's their eldest of their three daughters. So I did not know this, and this kind of shocked me. So we've reported, in particular, Jessica has reported extensively that Catherine Amalia has had some security issues while at school, while at university. And she's 20 years old. She's a student, and she's a college student. And so she actually studied abroad in Spain recently. She went to Spain after security threats prevented her from continuing to live in student housing at her university in Amsterdam. And there's probably a good reason why we do not know about this, because of security threats. So it was probably kept pretty quiet. So this is from him from the banquet. This is Willem Alexander. Last year, circumstances required her to live in Madrid, he said. From there, she was able to continue her studies at the University of Amsterdam. This was made possible by the kind efforts of many of your compatriots and yourselves, a touching demonstration of friendship at a difficult time. I'd like to express my heartfelt thanks to you and to everyone else who helped arrange this. So, as we know, Philippe and Letizia also have two daughters. Princess Leonor is a future queen as well. So Katharina Amalia's presence at the banquet marked her first appearance at such an event. We talked about this last week.
Yeah.
She wore the ruby peacock tiara, which might be, I've got some pictures down here, which might be her royal go-to. She's worn it twice before, both times to royal weddings. And she wore it, she first wore a tiara at Princess Ingrid Alexandra of Norway's 18th birthday gala in 2022, which we talked about on the show. And for that event, she wore the same tiara her mother Maxima wore at her 2002 wedding. So, following Willem Alexander's address, Philippe stood up to give his remarks. He spoke about the special relationship between Spain and the Netherlands and acknowledged Catherine Amalia and Leonor, who are two future queens. And he said, "We hope these days may contribute to reinforce even more deep bonds between two societies that look together towards a prosperous future. So do our parliamentary, I can't speak, monarchies, as we go together towards that future, hand in hand with two women of their generation, Princess Amalia and Princess Leonor, deeply committed to their nation and their people." So, as we said a minute ago, Philippe took the throne in 2014 after his own father, King Juan Carlos, abdicated. And then Philippe invited guests to raise a glass, circled back to how Willem Alexander and Maxima met 25 years ago around this particular time of year at the famous Feria de Abril, which brought wide smiles to their faces. So, and then he finished and said, "We therefore toast to that personal and emotional connection to our country, so it will always remain and flourish as it has since then." So I'm going to stop there for a second. There were many engagements throughout their 2-day visit, but the state banquet, I would say, is the highlight. But I want us to look at the fashion. So, first of all, before we do that, before we look at the fashion and the tiaras and all that, what do you think of? Because that's actually a really touching crossover moment. There's a lot of connections that I didn't realize between Spain and the Netherlands about how Willem Alexander and Maxima met there. And then I did not know that Catherine Amalia was in Spain studying abroad. And so, of course, we've got two future queens. So, what do you think about all of those comments? I thought it was really touching, actually.
Yeah, I agree. I thought that was really interesting and fun for them to call that out during this event. And I did actually know that Princess Amalia was in Spain only because I had seen a few paparazzi shots of her online, which we hadn't shared or talked about on the podcast, but I knew that she was over there, and I don't know if I knew for how long, but I had seen a few photos. So,
I did not
but
know that.
yeah, really, really interesting a connection here between the Spanish royals and the Dutch royals. It's fun to see. And I mean, obviously, Queen Maxima, pretty sure, speaks Spanish.
Yeah,
And
surely.
so I would imagine Princess Amalia probably does as well.
So I dropped a photo of her tiara, Amalia's tiara here, and it is beautiful. But so the other photo I dropped from the banquet is of the two couples, so of Willem Alexander, Maxima, and then Philippe and Letizia. Because it's the four of them, you can't see Maxima's tiara. Zoom in on that if you can. That is a gigantic tiara on Maxima's head. I mean, everyone has
Yes.
huge tiaras, but my goodness.
I shared a photo of it on our Instagram account. One of our followers
Yes, yes,
responded
yes,
back
yes.
and said, "Oh my goodness, that tiara. I mean, it's beautiful." And I will say she wears them very well. She looks great. She styles them very well. It complemented her gown beautifully. I think the tiara has blue diamonds in it. It's a very substantial headpiece. And I did not share a picture of Queen Maxima on our feed. I shared it in stories, but on our feed, I shared a portrait of Princess Amalia from this event because it was so special for her being her first state banquet and such a beautiful photo. And you've got another one here in our notes, but listeners can go out to our Instagram page if they want to see that photo.
Yeah, and all three of the women, Amalia, Maxima, and Letizia, are all in shades of blue, Netherlands blue. And then I've dropped some other photos just of the, I mean, when it comes to glamorous royal women, Maxima and Letizia, they're just pretty second to none. And I mean, just the fashion throughout these 2 days, like that, like look at Letizia's like red on pink coat. Like I love how Letizia does this a lot. She drapes her coats over her shoulders. She doesn't put her arms through them. I just think that's so chic and glamorous. And there's all these looks, and then there's Amalia with them and the last photo from the last, I think that's the last day of the visit. So what do you think of the fashion? I mean, they've really brought it again.
Well, Rachel, you know what sticks out to me? We have another Christmas in April
Oh my
moment.
God, we do. Look at that. Letitia in green, Maxima in red again.
Yeah, what is going on here? Are we missing something? Was there like a connection that we're supposed to be aware
I
of?
don't know. I don't think so, but you are
It is
absolutely
almost
right.
identical shades of red and
Yeah,
green
you're
too.
absolutely, and the taller one is in red. yet again. Wow. Yeah, I did notice that until you said that. I love that shade of red on Maxima, by the way. I just think, knockout after knockout on these looks, and just it seems like a great visit. And I love these. What is going on? We have like more to come too, and you'll talk about those in future episodes. But we've got a lot of royal visits crossing over all over the place right now.
Yeah, we did actually have a state visit from Finland to Sweden that kicked off. I think it was today or yesterday. And again, Finland doesn't have a royal family, so I don't know that we'll really report on that story, but there's just a lot of travel happening across our European royal families right now.
Yes. And we again just have a massive royals around the world, but this is our last story, I believe, for the episode and for royals around the world. So let's go to Denmark. So Queen Mary of Denmark looks similar to the Princess of Wales. Apparently, they also share similar hobbies too, like taking photos of their kids to mark their birthdays. Kate did that for Louis's birthday today, and Queen Mary took some photos, which I dropped in here as well, of her daughter, Princess Isabella, to mark Isabella's 17th birthday this past Sunday, the 21st. So, in the photos, Isabella poses with the family dog Coco. I knew you'd want to see Coco, and there's Coco. I don't know what kind of dog she is, but she's cute. And then Isabella is the second of the King and Queen's four kids. Of course, you've got their oldest, which is Crown Prince Christian, and then Isabella, and then the twins, Prince Vincent and Princess Josephine. But there is I like the black and white one a lot. Like Josephine, or not Josephine, Isabella is looking off camera with Coco. And what do you think of these? It's always good to see a royal family dog.
Yeah, of course. I love these pictures that we get, and I like this trend of the royals releasing pictures they've taken themselves. It's a really special kind of glimpse into some personal moments that they've got. So I think that's great.
Well, that's that for episode 137, full as ever. Listeners, we actually have an exciting interview for you on Friday with a royal author who has written a new book. It's the third of three books in this trilogy he's written. And we interviewed him earlier today, and that will come out on Friday. We know you'll enjoy that conversation. So stay tuned on Friday for that. And yeah, I think that's it for the good of the order. Anything else we're missing?
No, just a reminder to listeners to come follow us on Instagram at Podcast Royal to get some real-time updates there. And as always, please click the follow button and follow our podcast so you get notified whenever new episodes come out. And we would love a 5-star review and rating for us. It's always fun. It's like getting a little surprise treat, isn't it, Rachel?
It is a day maker for sure.
So you can, again, if you do have a question or you want to reach out to us with any comments from the episode, if you're not on Instagram, you can contact us through email at hellopodcastroyal@gmail.com. And thanks again for joining us for episode 137 of Podcast Royal. Bye.
Bye.